Merry Christmas. It is, it's finally time, apparently. Our office administrator is an Anglican, and she's very firm about Advent being Advent, and you're really not supposed to say Merry Christmas till sundown on Christmas Eve, so we can do that now. It is good to see you here. It is good to be together, and I welcome you. If you're not usually here, a special welcome, and I do hope you feel at home with us as we worship God tonight. Our service tonight is a fairly traditional Christmas Eve service. It will proceed unannounced. If you have a bulletin, you'll know what is coming next. But I encourage us all to take the opportunity to hear things as if we are hearing them for the first time, not to allow a familiar story to just wash over us, but to take the opportunity to hear, to listen, and to enter into that story. We are open on Sundays, and our service this Sunday, we have a single service that will be at 10:30, usually two services, but one this coming Sunday at 10:30. And if you feel moved to, there are offering plates at both doors at which you could put an offering on your way out, but don't feel obliged. That's if you are moved to. We also have a giving tree just on the other side of this wall. There are a number of paper ornaments on it, and you could pluck one of those off, and it's an indicator of something that we can do to be a blessing to our community. And if that's something you would like to take part in, again, I would encourage you to do that. Let us worship God.
Oh,
us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we gather together as your people. We gather to celebrate the incredible fact of the living, almighty, holy God becoming human in Jesus of Nazareth. We celebrate that truth and we worship you because of it, that your love for us was and is so vast that you would pursue us to the point of coming to us as one of us and offering your life for us. So we bow before you to worship you, to give you thanks, and to celebrate all that you have done and are doing in us and for us through Jesus Christ. Bless us in our time together. Touch us afresh with your mercy and forgive our sin. Heal our brokenness and make us as new people, that we should live for you this day and always. Our God, we pray this in Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout the season of Advent, we have been lighting the candles on our Advent wreath. We started with the candle of hope, and then the candle of peace, the candle of joy, and then the candle of love this past week. Are there any children here who would like to help me light the Christ candle? No pressure. I'm quite capable, but if you want to. This evening, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ candle acknowledges that Christ is present with us, that he is here by his Holy Spirit in this place. He is here by his Holy Spirit in our lives. The Lord Jesus is present.
Tonight's reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the light, in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of the Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke of the burdens them, that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, and from that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Still you can hear the fall. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Luke 2, verses 1 through 20.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Some of us here are hearing the Christmas story for the first time, and some of us are hearing it for the many, many time, every year, many years. This evening, I want you to place yourself in the Christmas story, and no, you don't get to be Jesus. I don't know how many of you know Shermie from the Charles Schulz Peanuts strip. Anybody know Shermie other than my wife? Oh, good. Shermie was in the show A Charlie Brown Christmas. And when he was handed his script for the Christmas pageant that they were going to do, the nativity play, Shermie said, "Every Christmas, it's always the same. I always end up playing a shepherd." Well, tonight, you are Shermie. I want you to play a shepherd. Don't worry, you don't have to come up to the front. You can do it right where you are. But I want you to place yourself in this setting. It has been a long day. You are walking across a field, and your feet ache, and your legs ache. All you can think about is sitting down, but you can't do that yet. You have to climb and go over the next hill before you can take a rest. You are holding a long wooden shaft in your hand, and you're leaning on it more than usual. Your sheep are following you. They ticked you off more than usual today. They wandered off. They didn't come when called. Lambert bit you, and you swear that Sean butted you on purpose. You are to the point, if you hear one more bah out of any of them, you're going to turn, leave, and look for a new job. The sun is getting lower in the clear sky. It's cooling off. It's going to be a cold night. You reach the crest of the hill and you look down and you see them. Down in the shallow valley are your friends, other shepherds with their sheep. Your heart lightens at seeing everyone. And it doesn't even bother you that as your sheep crest the hill, they all as one bleat in joy at seeing everything, everyone, and their destination after a long journey. You are greeted warmly by your friends and invited to sit for a few minutes. God bless them. Last in gets to sit down for a little bit as everyone prepares for the night. Around you, fires are being lit. Food is being prepared. As you smell the aroma of the cooking food, you are reminded how hungry you really are. So you get up to help so that you will eat sooner. You come together, you and your fellow shepherds, more for security for the animals than you do for comfort for yourself, but you will take every single bit of comfort that this crummy job allows you. Two more flocks arrive while you're helping with the food, and that is everyone, which means food will be soon. All the shepherds gather to eat together. The sheep and goats have been eating all day long, so you do not have to worry about them. There's still light in the sky, so you're not too fearful of attack from predator at this point. You sit down together and the food is passed. Leeks, cucumbers, onions, olives, beans. Usually you have some fish, but tonight is a treat. Tonight, meat is being passed. And as it comes to you, you can't help but notice the irony that you're eating lamb. You are struck by this and wonder that you spend your day protecting these beasts, feeding them, watering them, protecting them from predators. And now it appears you are eating one of them. You also know it's best not to ask too many questions. Universal truth of the hungry is true for your group as well. As soon as food is put in front of you, conversation ceases until the first bites are taken. Bit by bit, bite by bite, conversation begins again. Everyone shares something of their day. Netta had to rescue a small lamb from a narrow crevice. Gaul had to chase off a small leopard, and you are all very impressed. You share your frustrating day, and they all commiserate because they all know that kind of day. Then Lior starts with the jokes. Did you hear the one about the wall builder from Jericho? Yes, you told that last week. Well, did you hear the one about the vegan Levite? Yes, you told that one too. Well, how about the one with the farmer with a wagon full of manure? No, that's new. So Lior tells the story. Saw a farmer with a wagon driving it along. I said, hey, what you've got in the wagon? He said, manure. I said, what you going to do with it? He said, I'm going to spread it on the fruit. I said, you should come around here sometime and have lunch with us. We put sour cream on our fruit. And Lior laughs and laughs and laughs at his own joke. Thankfully, conversation turns to the world outside of the shepherd's life. Your group is entirely made up of hired hands. Some shepherds watch their own sheep, but more and more shepherds hire people to watch their sheep. Every one of you knows that you are really low on the social pecking order. Part of you is glad that tax collectors exist, because at least there's somebody lower on the social pecking order than you. Everyone hates tax collectors more than you and trusts them less than you. conversation soon turns to politics. Some of your group sides with the zealots who want to overthrow the Roman overlords. But most of you believe that this would be an error, that the Roman government would defeat the revolt and you would pay dearly for it. But what if the Messiah led the rebellion? Cried out Michael. Ah, the man you know is Messiah Mike. He was always able to turn the conversation towards the Messiah. His latest suggestion was that the Essene Menahem was the Messiah. Every couple of months, he had another suggestion, a new name of someone who may be God's Messiah. You all let him talk because you know that he is going to say what he wants to say. You don't ask questions or make comments because that would just prolong it. You enter your own head as Mike drones on. The Messiah could come at any time, but as with most things, probably not in your lifetime. And when you next turn your thoughts back to your companions, you see that things are winding down for the night. Netta had gathered the straws together for each of you to take to see who would have to go out to the outpost fires to keep guard on the other side of the flocks. You never got as much sleep out there. Before they even got to you, all the short straws were taken, so you got to stay by the main fire. Yours was the first watch, so you had to stay awake, but then you would get an uninterrupted block of sleep. You find your spot. Comfortable, but not too comfortable, so you can stay awake. Every once in a while, you get up and walk to make sure everything is okay. Finally, it's time to sleep. You wake Messiah Mike, because it's his turn to watch. You wrap your cloak around yourself. You lay down, and sleep comes quickly. You dream about the Messiah putting sour cream on his fruit. Dreams can be strange. And then you are startled awake as Messiah Mike shouts and shouts. You assume it is a predator, perhaps even the small leopard that was chased away earlier. As you come awake, you realize that something is terribly wrong. Mike's shouting has become screaming. Beside you, Lior squeaks, "Holy expletive!" You turn with your staff in hand, and terror takes hold of you. In the sky is the brightest light against the black of the night. But it is not just a light. There is a figure in the light. You want to turn and run, but you cannot. You are welded to that spot. You stare wide-eyed, and your initial terror only grows. You're not just afraid for your life, because what you see appears to be bigger than life and death. You have no frame of reference to understand what is happening. And after a time that felt like an hour, but was probably just a few seconds, the figure said, "Do not be afraid." You always get nervous when someone says, "Do not be afraid." But there was something about the words, something about the voice that allowed you to dial your terror back just a bit, enough for you to breathe. Time slowed and raced, and the being continued. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The words swirl in your mind. Good news, great joy. Today, Savior has been born, the Messiah, the Lord, and a sign the Messiah lying in a manger? For a second, you forget your fear, your terror, and you wonder, what does this mean? For a flash, you wonder what Messiah Mike thinks about this. Even as the experience and the words pile up in your mind, something else happens. And suddenly, in front of you, the sky is full, from the heavens to the earth, full of more of these beings. Angels, you realize. And they are calling, singing, proclaiming, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. They repeat it over and over, calling and singing and proclaiming, good news, great joy. Glory to God, peace on earth. Today, a Savior has been born to you. Glory to God. The Messiah, the Lord, peace on earth. A sign, a baby lying in a manger. A baby in a manger. Then suddenly, as quickly as it started, it ended, and the sky was clear and black and dark. The countryside was quiet. Strangely, the animals were all calm, as if nothing had happened. You look at each other. No one speaks. Each pair of eyes you see realization dawning. Through his messengers, these angels, God has just told you, you of all people, that he has sent his Messiah into this world this day. And he's here in Bethlehem. You all turn and look at Messiah Mike, and he just stares back. Someone asked the question you are all wondering, what do we do? You find yourself speaking, though you had no intention of doing so, and you said, we have to go. We have to go and see. And everyone very quickly agrees. You all turn toward Bethlehem. Someone tells the two youngest to stay with the animals, but you find you don't really care if they do or don't. You all walk faster than you should in the dark, in the countryside at night. But getting to the town and finding the baby feels like it is the most important thing you have ever done. When you get to town, you realize you don't know where to go. Bethlehem is small, but everyone's asleep. Baby lying in a manger, a feeding trough, that means animals. So you wander some of the back streets by the stables and you listen. And finally you hear the cry of a baby, a very, very young baby. Your feet try to keep up to your racing heart. You reach the door and very tentatively start to push it open and step inside. And inside you see a baby all wrapped up, lying in the manger. You stare at him. And then you realize his parents are staring at you. By this point, your whole group has come into the stable. Somehow you can't figure out why you do all the talking. You introduce yourself, you introduce your friends, and then you tell the story. Out at night, the angel appeared, the glory of God, good news, great joy. Today a Savior is born, the Messiah, the Lord, baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Then all kinds of angels praising God. And finally you run out of words. And this man and woman look at each other. They look at the baby. They look at you. You don't know how they will respond, but you have to ask the question, is this the baby the angel told us about? Is this the Messiah? Again, they look at each other, and then they look at you and say, he is. Everything from that night washes over you. You move forward and bow before the baby in the manger, and you kneel before your Messiah, your Savior, and your friends all join you. The man and the woman, Joseph and Mary, they tell you stories about angels appearing to them and telling them about this baby being the Messiah and being God's own son. Finding the child seemed to be the most important thing you'd ever done. But as you kneel before him, you realize this is the most important thing you will ever do. It isn't until Mary and Joseph can't stifle their yawns anymore that you realize you have to go. You all leave. And you tell everyone you see what has happened. You walk back to the sheep, taking your time, reflecting, talking, wondering. Everything is different. The world has just changed. For into this world, the Savior has come. For you, as a shepherd, your world has just changed. It cannot be the same again. No matter what you see, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, it is all impacted by the fact that you knelt before the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. And what is true for you as shepherd is true for you as not shepherd. There's probably not too many shepherds amongst us this evening. But the truth is, we can all come before this Messiah. We can all come before this Savior, this Lord. This Christmas, we celebrate Jesus coming into this world, but we also celebrate Jesus coming into our lives. Let us not miss the opportunity to bow down before the Lord and allow him to change our worlds, to change our lives, and to change us. Let's pray together. Our loving, holy God, we thank you for your love that brought you to this world in Jesus. We thank you for the incredible humility that you, the living, holy God, would not only become human, but would become a human baby and be laid even in a manger. We thank you that not only did you humble yourself, but you allowed yourself to be humiliated for us. Help us, Lord. Help us to see you as the babe in the manger. Help us to see you as the man who stilled the waters, healed the sick, and taught your people. Help us to see you in Jesus on the cross and in Jesus raised from the dead. Help us to see you and bow before you and kneel before you and be changed by you. Our God, all this we pray in Jesus. Amen. In our service, we have pretty much always had a passing of the Christ candle, where we will light candles throughout the sanctuary as we sing our closing hymn, Joy to the World. I will invite a couple of young gentlemen forward, and they will go down the center aisle, and you can touch your candle to their lighted candle and then pass it on down the line. And the point of this is that we are passing the light of the Christ candle, all proclaiming that Jesus is present with us.
Joy to the world, the sword is come.
From here in celebration. Go from here kneeling before Jesus. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and always. Amen.